Good evening. It is so good to see Amy here tonight. Last time I saw her, she was on C-SPAN, and the audience wasn't quite as hospitable as the audience tonight, but she handled them. It's so great to have you in Atlanta. And it's so great to have two courageous commissioners, Michael Copps. And Jonathan Edelstein doing exactly what they should do, not sitting there being defeated and allowing Brother Powell to do his thing and becoming cynical in the process, but bringing the struggle directly to the people, bringing the message directly to the people. The office that I direct at the City of Atlanta was established in the year 2000 to bring internet and computer technology training to low-income citizens in the City of Atlanta and others who are trapped on the wrong side of what we call the digital divide. Today in Atlanta, we constitute a constituency of over 15,000 people, and we're growing strong. We have an ever-growing community web portal to which the community contributes information. We have over 15 full-blown community technology centers in 15 distinct neighborhoods in the City of Atlanta. And we have a 12-station cyber bus that is parked outside and ready to receive your comments so that we can transmit them directly live to the FCC and to your representatives in Congress. This is all made possible here in the City of Atlanta, not because of deregulation, but because of the FCC, federal, and local regulation. The legislation that the Atlanta City Council approved for the initiative that I direct also called for my office to facilitate more programming for minorities in Atlanta. Now, this was necessary because though the cable industry has brought more programming options to our city, it has not increased the quality or diversity of programming aimed at Atlanta's large minority population. Minorities comprise more than 30% of metro and the state's populations. The national networks and local broadcasters, notwithstanding a few sitcoms steeped in neo-racist stereotypes, have not fared any better than the cable television operator. My friends, without FCC, federal, and local policies that allow for more local programming and public technology, neither cable nor the broadcast industries would in and of themselves take affirmative steps to serve the public interest. With more consolidation, cross-ownership, and media concentration, we have no guarantee at all that the industry would invest its profits into more quality, local, and diverse programming. In fact, the opposite. Here in the City of Atlanta, aided by cultural and media references and institutions in the early 1970s, such as Timbuktu Bookstore, owned by Ebon Dooley of WRFG, the National Black Media Coalition, chaired locally by political photographer Jim Alexander, who is here tonight. Stand up, Jim.
Yes.
Give him a hand. The City of Atlanta's Neighborhood Arts Center, the Black Arts Center on Mason Turner Drive in Atlanta, the Atlanta University Center, and many, many others. Atlanta has had a long history of citizen participation and alternative media activism. In 1971, I think has already been previously mentioned, WRFG, a community radio station, was incorporated. It went on the air 2 years later and still broadcasts today. Its leadership has pulled together tonight's hearing, and I believe they particularly, the board, And particularly the board chair, Heather Gray, is due another round of applause. Heather? In 1973, the Atlanta branch of the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People and the American Civil Liberties Union of Georgia successfully challenged the licenses of Cox Communication that owns WSB-TV, WSB-AM, and the major newspaper in the city of Atlanta. The challenges resulted in a settlement that provided funding for the establishment of a community-based media program called the Atlanta Media Project. And this project was designed to train the community in producing community-oriented film, video, and programming. But more importantly, and I don't know how many people remember this, more importantly, and the commissioners will find this of particular interest, in this settlement, Cox gave up its cable franchise, which had only been developed in the northern section of the city. That's the largely white and affluent area, Buckhead and above. It was not until 1980, due largely to the advocacy of the groups previously mentioned, along with the Southern Regional Council, the Atlanta City Council, most notably the efforts of former Councilman James Bond, who is the brother of NAACP Chairman Julian Bond and others, that the city get a new cable franchise agreement. The city required this new cable operator, who was called Cable Atlanta at the time, today it's called Comcast, the city required this new cable operator to string cable on both the north and the south side of the city simultaneously. This agreement also required 25% minority ownership and that 35% of the jobs go to Atlanta residents. It further required that 5 neighborhood access studios be constructed and nearly a dozen local channels be available for public use. I know this history well because I was appointed the director of this new community media initiative in 1980. And as a result of this, thousands of residents were certified to use the public access facilities and channels to produce such local shows as The Voice of the Crusader with the late great Reverend Hosea Williams, and The Hungry Club Forum, which was produced by The Y, not the Metropolitan Y, but the Y that nurtured Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the Butler Street YMCA. You can go ahead and give the Butler Street YMCA a hand. But none of this community media, except WRFG, existed prior to 1980 in the media monopoly environment that existed in Atlanta. It was media competition that opened the door for this type of programming diversity, not centralization and deregulation. Now, in closing, I am sure that some of the members of the FCC will say that the reality to which you speak, Jabari, was 23 years ago. That things have changed since then, they will say. There's much more competition in Atlanta now with the popularity of the internet, direct satellite television, and other forms of television. Well, I will say to them that things have changed in Atlanta, but I am sure that many of you have heard the old saying, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Today in Atlanta, Cox Communications still owns the leading radio and television stations, still own the only major daily newspaper, and recently they purchased 25% of the city's largest alternative newspaper, the Creative Loafer, for which I wrote a column for 4 years that many of you may have had the opportunity to read. But who among us tonight can say that Atlanta is better off because of this bizarre case of cross-ownership and media concentration that exists here? How many of us can say that? Further, the city's cable system is now, as I mentioned earlier, part of the Comcast organization, which is the largest multiple system cable operator in the nation, if not the world. Comcast predecessors had long moved their company's headquarters out of Atlanta
You're listening to Pacifica Radio's live broadcast of Emory University's informal hearings on planned FCC rule changes in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Speaking now, journalist Jabari Samama, editor of Creative Loafing Newspaper. We'll return now to the stage.
Because BET is not where it's at by any stretch of the imagination. But as I stand here tonight, very little has changed in terms of the breadth of the images, the range of the information, or the multidimensional depictions of the life and culture of people of color in this city, in this state, and in this region, not to mention gays and lesbians and senior citizens and workers and other folks. Thus, I conclude the following tonight, that media concentration and cross-ownership have contributed to less and not more programming quality and diversity in this city, that the lack of programming diversity harms minorities and others because of the dearth of programming options that's available for them in the marketplace already, and that local programming relevant to diverse and local constituencies has rarely been increased as the result of deregulation, but to the contrary, as the result of regulation. We need more, not less, regulation. And as America becomes more and more diverse, racially, ethnically, and economically, and as more people look to alternative sources to get a wider range of views on local and national and world affairs, it is absolutely imperative that the FCC does everything within its means to slow the growth of media concentration and promote diversity in media ownership, programming, and employment. I join the Atlanta City Council in its resolution urging the FCC not to relax or eliminate any of its media ownership rules. I also request that FCC Chairman, regardless of what he said already, delay any vote on this matter beyond June the 2nd, and further, I request the FCC to release to the public and media immediately any and all staff comments and recommendations upon which some commissioners have based their decision to support deregulation. Thank you.